himself while driving. I don't know. VOA 1, the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today, you will hear stories from Anna Mateo, Gina Bennett, and Dan Friedel. Then we present a new everyday grammar lesson from Jill Robbins. Last week, Jill explained how to use three grammatical structures to talk about hot weather. Today, she reviews some examples sent in by listeners. But first,
the summer has yet to arrive, but temperatures have reached record high levels in some places, leading to school closings, wildfires, and deaths. In China, high temperatures were recorded in the north and central parts of the country. The National Meteorological Center reported temperatures as high as 42 degrees Celsius in Hebei Province on Wednesday. The Chinese Weather Agency noted that the average temperatures from March to May were at their highest since records began in 1961. In Mengyin County, in Shandong Province, local media reported that officials created artificial rain to combat an unusually severe drought this year. India, the world's most populous country, is in the middle of a long heat wave. Temperatures exceeded 50 degrees Celsius in some places in late May. The National Center for Disease Control said on June 1st that the country has recorded nearly 25,000 heat stroke cases and 56 deaths since March. High heat was also reported through large parts of Southeast Asia in April. The heat is blamed for hundreds of deaths, damage to crops, and school closures. Scientists said human-caused climate change has made heat waves hotter or more likely to happen. Last year, Canada reported its most intense fire season. More than 6,600 fires burned 15 million hectares. That is an area about 7 times larger than the yearly average. Canadian officials said they expect summer temperatures to be higher than usual after an abnormally warm winter this year. In April, the dry conditions led forest officials to warn of another catastrophic year for fires. In Greece, the first heat wave led officials to close the ancient Acropolis, home to the Parthenon Temple, during afternoon hours. Officials also closed schools and nurseries across the country for 2 days. Temperatures were expected to reach 43 degrees Celsius on Wednesday and Thursday. The high heat is driven by southerly winds bringing hot air and dust from North Africa. Greece is one of the most climate-affected countries in Europe. Rising temperatures caused deadly wildfires last year. Greek scientists expect more fires this year after they reported limited rainfall and the hottest winter on record. This week, firefighters and police were watching forests from the air and land, ahead of what is expected to be a windy weekend, increasing the risk of fires spreading. Similar conditions were reported last year across much of southern Europe, including Portugal, France, Spain, and Italy, where fires caused several deaths. I'm Ana Mateo.
The Brazilian ranchers who own the world's most costly cow call her Viatina 19. The large white cow is valued at over $4 million. At 1,100 kilograms, she is about two times the weight of most cows of her kind. Viatina 19 is protected by security cameras and a guard with a gun on the ranch in Uberaba, a town in the central Minas Gerais state. Her owners will not sell her for meat, but they hope Viatina 19 can be the start of a long line of super cows. Those cows will go on to have calves, or baby cattle. As time goes by, many of Viatina 19's relatives will be raised for meat. Any rancher who wants to buy one of Viatina 19's eggs must pay $250,000. They combine the egg with the reproductive cells, or sperm, of a top bull, hoping the resulting animal will be the start of a ranch filled with valuable cattle. Viatina 19 and the other cows and bulls are considered elite, or among the very best in the world. We're not slaughtering elite cattle. We're breeding them, and at the end of the line, going to feed the whole world, one of her owners, Ney Pereira, said. Viatina 19 is elite because she quickly puts on muscle and size. Lorani Martins is an animal doctor and Pereira's daughter. She said, many of the cows that have come from her genetic line have done the same.
She is the closest to perfection that has been attained so far, she said. Since the early 2000s, cattle ranching has grown into one of Brazil's top industries. There is even a cow channel on the Globo television network. The nation carries out high-level research into the genetics of cattle and does more in vitro or laboratory fertilizations than any other country. Viatina 19 is an example of Brazil's success in the beef industry. She has three owners now. The most recent owner joined the other two at a cost of $1.3 million. Guinness World Records said that partial sale was the most ever for a cow.
About 80% of the cattle in Brazil are from the Zebu subspecies, a sort of cow that first came from India. Viatina 19 is part of the Nelore breed within the Zebu group. Most of the cows in Brazil are Nelore. The cows from India came to Brazil in the late part of the 1800s. The cows did better in the hot climate than those who came from Europe. Brazil exported more than 2 million tons of beef in both 2022 and 2023. Much of the beef goes to nations like China, whose economies have grown in recent years. Agriculture and cattle ranching are important in Brazil. The country has 230 million cattle. President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva wants new markets for his country's products. Last month, he met with Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida. Japan produces the famous Wagyu beef. But Lula invited the Japanese leader to taste Brazilian beef on his next visit.
In April, Lula's tour of Brazilian beef continued. He visited one of the 38 meat processing centers in his country that are authorized by China. He said Brazil will bring in billions of dollars by selling beef to China. Lula also said Brazil's beef industry is free of foot and mouth disease, which affects cattle. The World Organization for Animal Health might recognize Brazil's status in August. Every year, Oberaba has an event called Expo Zebu. It is the world's largest festival for zebu cattle. People wear clothes associated with rural America, baseball caps, boots, and blue jeans. They listen to country music that started in the United States. Ranchers come from all around the world, including Indonesia and Zimbabwe, for the cattle show. The biggest auction is Ilo da Raça. This year, it took place on April 28th. One rancher in attendance was Arthur Lira, a well-known congressman in Brazil. He planned to sell a three-month-old calf. He said the auctions present the best of what each person has. When the cows are sold, their genetics move around the country and around the world. Some of the cows shown at the event are clones. That means they are genetic copies of other cows. One such cow is Dona. She was at the show with three clones. The four cows were purchased for $3 million because they produce so many eggs. The announcer called them a factory. Cows like Dona and Vietna 19 are cloned in a building not far from the auction area. Scientists take the cow's DNA from their tail hair and use it to create genetic copies. The DNA is used to create embryos, and they are put in the uteruses of surrogate mothers.
Paulo Sarantola is a director with a genetic company called Genial Animal Genetics and Biotechnology. He said, the surrogates are rental bellies. There are about 500 of them in a field. Not all of the calves will survive, he said. Some will have to be killed because of genetic problems. Sarantola said clones of Vietna 19 are to be born soon. Grant Vasberg is a rancher from Texas who has visited Brazilian auctions. He said, even if the famous cows produce lots of children and lots of clones, there are problems. He said, Vietna 19 is poison for the industry. We still need cows to be efficient on grass, he said. That's how you feed the world. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Gina Bennett.
In the United States, a quiet change is happening at work. Many workers are taking workations. This is when employees work remotely from a vacation place without telling their boss. Workation combines the words work and vacation. Another example is staycation. This word describes when a person decides to stay home during vacation rather than traveling. During the COVID-19 pandemic, teleworking and remote work led people to rethink parts of their professional and personal lives. This increased the popularity of workations. Corporate trainer Rudy Ricksteins works with businesses and employees. He told VOA, "The pandemic made people question what they really wanted in their work and personal lives." Ricksteins said that as a result, some people started to feel like they wanted to avoid the busy, work-driven life, sometimes described as a rat race. And as people went back to work, they sought to have more control. One study by hospitality management company Muse found that about 29% of employees said they had worked remotely from a vacation place without telling employers. The study carried out by market research company OnePoll involved 1,000 American travelers and 1,000 American hotel workers. The research suggested that 52% of employed Americans would use vacation travels as a chance to work remotely. Ricksteins said workations can be good for both workers and employers. For example, a workation can improve worker happiness by making life more interesting. Productivity goes up by 70% on average when people are happier when they are working. And we see happy people when they're traveling because they feel stimulated, said Ricksteins. You start to be stimulated emotionally, mentally, and physically. And then, when you show up to work, you are more creative. Some hotel companies offer workation specials to boost business, especially during slower times. Sandy Weber owns the 17-room Bayfront Marin House in St. Augustine, Florida. She also rents out 8 beach cottages. Weber herself worked remotely for 8 years and now offers workation services that she would have liked using. In Georgetown, Maine, the 13-room Gray Havens Inn, which sits near the water, created a special program that aims to appeal to younger remote workers. We have a lot of younger travelers, but not as many as we would like. This is part of the reason we started this program, said innkeeper Ali Barrionuevo. I read about other hotels doing it, so we put it out there to see if we could attract people who were teleworking. The special includes 25% off the room rate for a 7-day stay. The room comes with daily breakfast, a welcome gift, and some food and drinks. Barrionuevo also provides advice and support for seeing the area and taking part in activities. When they are done working, we help them find out what they like and create itineraries to help them see the things they want or should see with limited time, she added. A public opinion study carried out by ResumeBuilder.com found that 1 in 6 Gen Z workers used a false online background of a home office to fool their employer. Gen Z is a name for the generation of people born in the late 1990s through the early 2000s. Another study from 2023 found that 51% of Gen Z workers said they had worked remotely from a vacation place, but did not tell their employers. Rick Steens noted that not all workations have to be secret. Some employers permit workations as long as employees get their work done. A number of the organizations that I do currently work with don't care where their employees work, as long as they produce the results and it's done within the office hours. Rick Steens said he thinks more companies should accept remote work situations as a way to improve worker satisfaction and business productivity. He said employers should be asking, "Are workers happy? Are they able to work anywhere and still get the job done? Can companies get better products and better results with happier workers? And will this make them stay at the company?" I'm Ana Mateo.
In a recent Everyday Grammar, we showed how to use 3 grammatical structures to talk about hot weather. They are phrasal verbs, collocations, and metaphors. In this lesson, we review some examples that you have sent to us at Learning English. Arunab wrote to tell us some expressions used in San Francisco. Let us start with a phrasal verb, to cool down. It means to move toward a lower temperature. This phrasal verb can be used either as a transitive verb, one that needs an object, or an intransitive verb, one that does not need to have an object. In the intransitive sense, you may hear the statement Arunab sent.
I hope it cools down soon. It is too hot here.
In the transitive sense, the 2 parts of the verb, that is the verb cool and the preposition down, can be separated, the object coming between them. Here is an example.
She cooled her tea down with some milk.
Arunab gave us another expression that relates to cooking. It is not a cooking method, but a sound we hear when foods are put into hot cooking oil. Sizzle. Here is the statement.
The streets are sizzling in the summer heat.
Sizzle gives us an interesting addition to our ways of talking about heat. This word is an example of onomatopoeia, or words that copy sounds. We find that the meaning of sizzle in our dictionary is to make a hissing sound. Hiss is also a good example of onomatopoeia. A song by the American singer-songwriter Joni Mitchell uses that word to talk about a sound we often hear in hot weather. In her song, The Hissing of Summer Lawns, Mitchell brings to mind the sound of water spraying on grass from mechanical sprinklers in the summertime.
She patrols that fence of his to a Latin drum and the hissing of summer lawns.
There is another onomatopoetic word that we can use in hot weather. When we sweat in hot weather, drops of water sometimes fall from our bodies, and it can make a sound similar to the word drip. We may then say,
I'm dripping with sweat.
Another reader, Haruna, wrote to us with some hot weather expressions common in Japan. She tells us that most Japanese usually talk about the weather when they first meet someone. The same is true in the United States. Americans often talk about the weather to begin a conversation with someone they do not know well. Haruna explained that Japanese people can use one or more Chinese characters when writing about heat. The first one is simply hot, atsu. To express the degree of heat, another character is placed before it to create a new word. Sometimes that changes the pronunciation of the word for hot. For example, extreme heat is mōshō, or steaming hot. To describe sweltering heat, Japanese would say enshō, which translates as flaming hot. These are metaphors, as we discussed in our earlier story on this subject. We also talked about cooking terms used to talk about hot weather, such as
it's so hot that you can fry an egg on the sidewalk.
In Japan, this is common too. A new word has come into use, moshobi, which means a steaming hot day. A Japanese person might say,
it is hot enough to steam a pork bun on the sidewalk.
Finally, Haruna says that in weather forecasts, these words are connected to certain temperatures. When the temperature is over 25 degrees, it is a summer day, or kajitsu. When it is over 30 degrees, it is a hot summer day, or manatsubi. And when the temperature rises over 35 degrees, it is an extremely hot day, or moshobi. If the temperature rises to over 40 degrees, it is a cruelly hot day, or enshobi. Thank you, Arunab and Haruna, for sharing your hot weather expressions with us. We hope all our listeners and readers will find good ways to stay cool in the hot days ahead. And that's Everyday Grammar. I'm Jill Robbins.
That was Jill Robbins with this week's Everyday Grammar lesson. Jill joins me now to talk more about the topic. Hi, Jill. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Ashley. It's good to be here talking with you and our podcast listeners today.
This week, you looked at some messages our listeners sent us in response to last week's Everyday Grammar. Were you surprised by any of these messages?
Yes, there was a way of talking about hot weather I didn't cover in my previous story. It's words that communicate sounds. Here's one example. The streets are sizzling in the summer heat.
The word sizzle is an example of a word that sounds like the thing it describes. These kinds of words are known as onomatopoeias.
So I had fun thinking of some other onomatopoetic words and hot weather. Like hissing.
Yes, and you used part of a Joni Mitchell song, The Hissing of Summer Lawns.
I love Joni Mitchell. In that song, she sings about the sound of water being sprayed on grass. It makes a hissing noise. And then I got to learn some Japanese words for hot weather.
You know something about the weather in Japan firsthand, don't you?
Yeah, I spent 7 summers there. One of them was so hot, they even closed the swimming pools to save water. The kids hated that.
So, can you tell us what you learned about the way Japanese people talk about hot weather?
Our listener, Haruna, told me they have over 10 expressions for hot weather. That's no surprise. But a new one is mōshō, which can translate as cruelly hot.
Well, let's hope they don't have to use that very often this summer. Thanks so much for being on the show today, Jill.
Thanks for having me, Ashley. Stay cool.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.